I've got good news and I've got bad news. The one statement is good news and bad news. Christmas is 4 weeks away. And I'm kind of in that middle of going, it's good news, but it's bad news. It's bad news because I've done no shopping, but that's pretty consistent. It's bad news because it seems like only 3 months ago it was Christmas last year. It's been a tough year. It's been a big year. It's been a busy year. And it's great to look around and see we're all here. It's great to see you back, Normie. It's been so long and so good to see you well. We've all had good moments, we've had bad moments, but Christmas is just around the corner. Christmas for our community means that, well, Halloween's done, Thanksgiving's done. They're not even Australian holidays, but they're done. And so the next moment is, according to Woolworths, Christmas. And for most Australians, Christmas means holiday, food, holiday. Yeah, pretty much that, and presents, right? But Christmas is so much more than a holiday. Christmas is good in a way that in our community, us as Christians have a voice, because there's only two times a year where Christians are allowed to talk about their faith a little bit, and that's Christmas and Easter. So Christmas, we have an opportunity to be able to talk about our faith, to be able to tell the story of a baby that's born to save this world. And it's a great moment. And so often we don't use that moment. Christmas is more than a holiday, and we need to be able to bring to our community and bring to ourselves that Christmas is a significant moment. We start Advent today as we lead up to Christmas. It's an amazing part of the Christian calendar. And as we go through the next few weeks, I want to look at what does Christianity say to us as a people, as a community? What does it say to us broader? And I want to look at Jesus, the young Jesus, and to be able to say, what do we learn from the young Jesus? Because so often we have this picture of Jesus that's all over the place, but Jesus was born so uniquely. Jesus was born as a man and as God. Now, some of us know Star Trek, yeah? And Star Trek has a character called Data, yeah? Yeah, I see a couple of heads, that's handy. And I see a couple of shakes. This is a picture of Data. Data's an android. So he's an android, so he's human, but he's kind of not human, but he's kind of a bit of both. And often when we look at Jesus, we look at that and say, well, Jesus is like Data in that he's kind of, Jesus is kind of man and kind of God and a bit. And we get confused over the true understanding of who Jesus is. For us, it's really hard to say Jesus can be fully human and fully God, because nothing we have can be fully, completely two different things. If I have red and I have blue and I put them together, what do I have? No, I've got red-blue. No, I've got purple. When we mix two things together, they become one thing made up of two. But Jesus is not like that. Jesus is fully, 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 fully God, fully, 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 fully human. And to get our head around that is really difficult. It's the difficulty of understanding something which we can't understand. An example of this is, could Jesus have sinned? I did an essay on this in college a long time ago, and I disagreed with the lecturer. And I got a HD, so good on him. Could Jesus have sinned? Can God sin? No. No? No, God, it's not a trick question. God can't sin, full stop. Can people sin? Wow, you're pretty quick on that one. Man can sin, God cannot sin. Jesus is fully God, and Jesus is fully man. Can Jesus sin? Because if Jesus is fully God, no, he can't, right? But if Jesus is fully man, he can. So is Jesus able to sin? Jesus did not sin, But was Jesus capable of sin? Because when we look at the Gospels, we have the story of Matthew, Mark, Luke that look at the humanity of Jesus, the personhood of Jesus. They have this pre-understanding that to say that Jesus is God is easy, to understand Jesus as a man is tougher. John approaches it differently. John approaches it saying, Jesus is God. He has the understanding that it's obviously he's human, but he's also God. So when we look at the Gospels, they approach from a different way of saying, yes, Jesus is fully human. Yes, Jesus is fully God. But when did the time come that Jesus knew he was God? Because when I was younger, this big, I started to understand who I was. I started to understand who my mum and dad was. I started to understand that I'm Australian. You know, before that, I didn't know there were non-Australians. Before that, I didn't know there were non-Queenslanders. Still don't really care, except for those from, you know, New South Wales. Much love. But as I grew, I understood more. As I grew up more and more, I understood more about who I am, about the future that I have, about my strengths and weaknesses, about what God's promises for me. I grew and learned and understood. Was that a part of me all the time? Yeah. But I slowly understood who I was. Jesus as a baby, as an infant, being rocked in Mary's arms, I don't think he knew he was fully God. I don't think he knew a lot about anything, and I'm not trying to be anything except trying to understand more about who Jesus is in the process. Because Jesus came to understand his humanity. He came to understand who he was as a person, as a Jew, as the son of Joseph and Mary. He came to understand who he was as God. And there's this passage in Scripture where Jesus relates his understanding and his knowledge of who he is in Luke 2. We read it before and I'd like to read it again if I can. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day and they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Next. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men. The last part of that, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. Grew in wisdom. I think it's amazing that today wisdom's not valued. Today we value, as a community, experience. We value experiences, stories, connections. We value the experience. We put our money and our effort into experiences. We value knowledge. We Google everything because Google knows everything. And then if Google knows everything, we can know everything. We value knowledge. We value the understanding and the knowing of how things work. But over the years, wisdom has taken a bit of a left turn. Wisdom is not as highly sought as it used to be. And I'd like to suggest it probably should be. That we as Christians really need to be chasing after wisdom, to understand what life's all about, to understand what it is to be human, what it is to be a person, what it is to be in community. Wisdom needs to be something that we excel at, we chase after. Jesus grew in wisdom. It says it in verse 40 and then 52, that Jesus grew in wisdom. So the people around Jesus noticed in him the growth of wisdom, the understanding of who he was and what this world's about. And I'd like to challenge that the goal for us needs to be to seek out wisdom and to grow in wisdom. So how do we do that? Well, the first thing is, I think community is found, or wisdom is found in community. Community is something that surrounds us. And if we look at the story of Mary and Joseph with Jesus, they're in a community. Jesus grew up in community. He grew up in community of the people around him in his town of Nazareth. He grew up in the community of going from Nazareth to Jerusalem. And by the way, that's a big walk. That's 146 Ks. That's a big walk that they used to do every year. So Jesus was a part of this community. And in this community, he learned more about who he was. He understood more and more about who he was, who his people were, how he fitted into the community, how the community worked together. The community wasn't always easy. The community was quite often challenging. Jesus grew up, they all would have known it, that he was born outside of wedlock, so to speak, that mum got pregnant at an inappropriate moment. All the community would have known that. He grew up in that place. He would have known that Joseph was his father, but kind of not. He would have got sledged from his friends. I'm just suggesting that he was mocked a bit, that he was poor. There were plenty of wealthier people, smarter people, better looking people. I don't know. Jesus experienced life as a kid in a community. And at times that was challenging. There were times where he would have had his mates, and there would have been times where he was bullied and neglected and kicked out. Jesus' life was full of being rejected and accused of things. There's no reason to not believe that that started when he was a kid. Jesus understood that the community which helps him, which enables him, which teaches him, can also be a challenging community. But community is important for us. Community gives us purpose and understanding. It gives us an understanding of who we are and where we fit. The community can be challenging. The community needs also to be humble. I spoke to someone the other day who was a part of a church group, and talking to him, and I said, "Oh, how's that group going with you?" And he said, "Oh, I kind of don't get it." He says, "I'm a part of this, but I don't understand so much. I think I probably should, and everyone expects me to know this, but I don't feel I can ask questions." And the question that came was, what's a disciple? Are you a disciple? What's a disciple? And a disciple means a learner. And what's a part of learning? A learning is asking questions. And in any group that we're a part of, we need to be humble enough to be able to say, "I don't know this stuff. Can you help me to understand?" Any community needs to be a place where we can ask questions to understand and to get a better understanding from those who have been there before. The communities around us can be challenging, but they also need to be a humble community where we can ask questions and learn from each other. Our communities are also learning communities. When Jesus went back to the temple and sat with these people, he went there to learn, to understand, to find out more. There were things that he could learn in his local community, but there were questions that he had which were beyond his local community. It's interesting that the mum and dad didn't find him. Well, on his 12th visit, they go every year. The 12th visit, he didn't come. He stayed with the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. That mustn't have been where he'd hang out every other year. Because if he had done that when he was 8, 9, 10, 11, then surely they would have looked there before they left. But they left and they went back not being able to find him. Jesus had come to that place of saying, "I need a place where I can learn. I've talked with these people. I've learned so much in my normal community, but I need to learn more." And he went and sought out that community where he could learn. A learning community, but also a special community. a community where he could ask those questions which weren't a part of his local community. And there's places where we all have that. Places where we fit with our community. This is our community. There's places that we fit here. There's also places that we kind of don't. And it's not wrong to look for communities which help us to connect with other people as a outside. It's not that we're replacing this community with another one, but we're asking questions. We're going beyond this community to be able to connect with the broader body of Christ to understand. Jesus took that step out to be able to learn more. But he grew in wisdom because he had community and he worked through the community. Wisdom grows in obedience. Wisdom grows when we follow God and do what he's calling us to do. When Mary and Joseph finally found Jesus in the temple, they asked him, "Why have you treated us like this? Behold, your father and I have been worried sick." Look at his answer. He said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I would be in my father's house?" In this time, Jesus is revealing that he understands who he is, that he's taken a step from being Mary and Joseph's child to being the child of God, to being the Son of God. Jesus has shifted in how he understands, in how he relates with his family. And he's walking in obedience, sitting with these scholars, sitting with these people, trying to understand more of who he is. But there's also a reflection on us that isn't that how we respond? Isn't that how we say whenever something comes up, "Why me? Why are you treating me like this? This isn't fair." Now, we all like food, right? Well, I like food. I'll own this. I like food. And there's food which Janelle has and she serves up to me and I look at it and go, "That ain't food." I know it's food, but I look at it and go, "Nah." And she says wisely, as she should, "Have you tried it yet?" And it's like, "No, I don't want to." But in reality, before I try it, do I really know if I like it or not? So often we don't understand why we need to obey, why we need to obey, because we don't understand what it means. When we have a coach, you know, think back to when you played sport. When you had a coach, did you know the wisdom of the coach until you enacted on the strategy that he had? When he says, "This is what we're going to do, this is our strategy," you sit and look at it and go, "We haven't done that before. I don't like it." Or do we say, "If that's the strategy, let's play it out and see how that works." And if it works, we go, "Good wisdom, coach." So often we look at the Bible and we go, "I don't like that. It's too hard. It's confronting. It feels awkward. It means I stand out against my friends, against society. I don't like that." And we don't do it. But surely God has shown his wisdom in the past to be able to say, "If you follow my ways, then there is reward in that. There is good in that. It is good for you." It may not look like bacon. It may not smell like bacon. But if we follow through what God's calling us to do, it's way better than bacon. Oh no! I shouldn't say anything's better than bacon. When we follow through obeying what God's calling us to do, we understand who we truly are and what God's trying to do. We need to walk in trust and obedience that God is on our side. Mark 7. On the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Those who hear my words and do them is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock." We can be oriented towards knowledge, oriented towards learning, but until we put that learning and that understanding and that knowledge into action, it means nothing. God's calling us to obedience, to step out in what he's leading us into, to step out into the awkward, the uncomfortable, to be able to take the challenge that he's putting in front of us, to test him and to see if he is good. Because wisdom is processing and obeying and stepping out. Obedience is the step to knowing who we are and what the world is about. We're called to obey so that we become wise. Wisdom grows in obedience, and wisdom also grows in trials. Who enjoys being uncomfortable? I'll give you some time to think about that. Who enjoys pain? No, we don't. And that's why there's so many Victorians that move to Queensland for winter. Who would live? No, sorry. I can't sledge New South Wales and Victoria in one day. We want to be comfortable. We are motivated and driven by avoiding trials, avoiding uncomfortable things. And yet that's what we're called to. That's what we're called to experience and to walk through trials, difficult moments, because that's when God is able to show us who He is more. Years ago when the kids were little, we lost our kids. Like, you know, we're good parents. We lost them one at a time. But I remember Jazzy, the little one, she would have been 3, I guess. We were living in at a Bible college. Down the back was so big Bible college. There was a creek. There was an old people's home. Over the creek was a big car park with the childcare centre and the Macquarie University. So big space. Disappeared. Gone. We had people from all over the college looking for Jasmine. Couldn't find her. She was gone. We had people searching the creek. People searching the old people's homes. People searching through the through our area. Everywhere. We found her. She followed her sister over to childcare, and like we'd walked over before, she decided to go and visit her sister. So she walked through, crossed the bridge, over the creek, through the car park to the childcare centre, and they sort of said, "Come in, child." So we found her. But the stress and the difficulty of losing her for a couple of hours. Have you been in that place? Lost your kid? Imagine Mary and Joseph when they lost Jesus for a couple of days. Imagine the stress they were under. Imagine what it would have been like for them. Because they grew in that time. Because God helped them to understand what was going to happen in the future. Help them to understand how to be a parent for Jesus, how to love Him and care for Him. The understanding of the trials that they went through. When we were in year 2, imagine a long time ago, when you're in year 2, did you understand everything your teacher had laid out for you? There were challenges. In year 2, plus, addition, maths, whatever, tough. And you struggle through and struggle through. And at the end of year 2, you go, I've got this. I've done this. I've, 60, 70%. I'm over a pass. I'm good. And then what happens next year, year 3? Teacher makes me can't understand, problem, too hard. You get to the end of year 3, I've got this. I can understand it. You know what they do? Put you into year 4. Each year we go through trials, we go through understanding to be able to go to the next level, to go to the next level. Sarah just finished year 12. And I reckon that most of her year 12 I couldn't do. But she got through year 12 very well because she went through, well, she got through. Because of year 11, year 10, year 9, year 8. And in that time where Mary and Joseph were looking for Jesus and stressed and not, what do you do? They were learning more about what the future held. What would it be like to lose their son when Jesus stood up, when he was confronting the religious leaders, when he was confronting society? What would it be like when Jesus was taken away from them to become the man we look back, the God we look back on and say that our world was changed that moment that Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected? The preparation in this time was a start for them to understand what the future was looking like for them. We go through trials. God takes us through trials. And as a teacher doesn't want to punish a child for asking harder questions, God isn't punishing us for taking us through difficult times. God is helping us to understand what the future is, to understand broader of what it is to be human, what it is to be a Christian, what it is to be his son or daughter. It's been said that our trials are God's classrooms, where the greatest of lessons are learned. Trials are not meant to be desirable, they're meant to be profitable. God walks with us through our trials so that we become wiser, so we experience more of God, so we experience more of God's mercy and grace and saving capacity, so that we then can tell other people of who our God is, of how great he is, of how merciful he is. So we want to grow in wisdom. Jesus grew in wisdom. We should be chasing after wisdom. So what does that look like? It looks like community. It looks like working through trials. It looks like walking in obedience. God has a challenge for each of us. What does that look like? Is there a commitment we need to make to community? To chase after, what does community look like? How do I support others, and how do I find that place of support? Where do I find places of encouragement where I can ask questions, where I can get answers, where I can be challenged? Is there a challenge on us to be more obedient? To obey God, to chase after what challenges he puts in front of us? Is there a challenge on us to chase the trials that we face, to be able to trust God in that, to be able to understand that no matter what happens around us, God is good and God is there and God will look after us? Not to chase after the lack of trials, but to be able to chase God within the trials. What's your challenge? God is good. God is committed to us. God values us. God has a good future for us. God is trustworthy and God is faithful. Let's pray. Jesus, I cannot begin to understand what it is to grow up as you grew up, to learn as you learned, to be in the community that you're a part of. I cannot begin to understand the goods, the bads, the difficulties, the celebrations. But Jesus, I can thank you that you've walked before me, that you've shown me how to live. You've experienced life as a person. You've experienced life in community. And that you help me to understand how I fit and where you're leading me to be. Jesus, thank you that you are not just our God, not just our Saviour, but you are also our mentor, our discipler, our model for life. Jesus, I thank you that you are trustworthy, that you are faithful, and that you are committed to making us better people and helping us to become more and more like you every day. In Jesus' name, amen.